Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. We're joined by Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. Mr. Mayor, welcome as always to The Front Page.
Thanks, Chuck. It's always good to be here.
Looks like just kind of checking over the agenda. It was a busy meeting. One thing I wanted to touch on right off the bat, I heard in the public comments section you heard from the Round County Board of Health regarding harm reduction. That kind of caught my attention. What was that about?
Well, they actually, we had talked about this for a couple months. This was the also known as the needle exchange program that the Round County Board of Health has agreed to move forward with, and a representative did not show up last night. So there was, I think we had our wires crossed a little bit on that, but it's our plan to have go forward and have a joint meeting with the fiscal court probably later this month, and I believe that's when that'll be presented, because it's my understanding that in order for it to go forward in a community, you have to have the blessing, so to speak, of the fiscal court, of the city council, and also of the Board of Health, which already has happened. So it has to be all three have to agree to do it. And just a quick background on the harm reduction, which is a softer terminology than needle exchange. But the harm reduction is something that, based on the research that the Department of the Health Department and their experts they've called in, is showing that it's not only to help with the heroin problem, but more importantly than that, and that's important, it's also to help with the help not spread HIV and hepatitis C, which is something that is there's a potential outbreak based on statistics, not in Morehead, but in several surrounding counties, based on the research that's been done from the CDC and other health organizations. So, you know, it's kind of being proactive, and they're seeing that, you know, it can definitely take care of a couple situations, and they're basing this on other similar effective programs that have been done in other towns and also across the state, but some that are similar in size to us that are hubs as well. So we expect to get more information on that to our city council and fiscal court when we meet later this month, if everything goes well.
I know you support the needle exchange. I had a chance to talk to Joe Klein, who's the Round County Chief Deputy and operates their anti-drug operation, Operation Row and Roundup, and he said, this is fine and good. We support it too as well, but with one caveat, that he feels like that the people who come in to get the clean needle should be required to at least go through some counseling to try to help them eventually break their addictions. Is that something you would support as well?
Oh, definitely. I wouldn't support it if it didn't have that. And that's one of the things we had, if you remember a couple months ago, following the forum we had on substance abuse, they had one, it was a special called meeting with the Round County Board of Health, and I attended that, and that's one of the things we talked about. And I've talked to Bobby Ratliff, who is the director for the Gateway Health Department, and we talked about the facts of what they would want in that as well, is not only the clean needles, which is important, but that's a very small part of the process. You'd want to have testing when people come in to do that, kind of. You know, you need to be tested regularly for that, because you have to know what kind of treatment or prevention treatment they would need to have, the users, as well as there would have to be an education component. It's just not going to be simply going around, you know, giving out needles. I mean, I don't think anybody would agree that that's going to be effective. It may be effective in one small area, but to me, it has to be education. You have to be able to have testing, and you also have to have counseling beyond just the education of what hepatitis C and HIV and the dangers of all that, but you have to have counseling if people are trying to actually get off of an addictive behavior. And what is important about that is people have to realize, and us, listen, I went round and round about this. This wasn't a 100%, you know, jumping on the bandwagon here. This is something that I can see both sides, and I think we're going to hear that, and we're going to see both sides of the fact that are we enabling or are we trying to help? And it's a battle between the two. And the main thing I want to tell people, the reason why I support it, is the fact that it will prevent the spread of communicable and deadly diseases. More importantly than just simply giving users a clean needle. So it needs to be multifaceted before I'm 100% on board. But in talking to Bobby Ratliff and the other members of the Round County Board of Health, they feel the same way. You know, there's a lot of logistics that have to be worked out. First of all, it has to be passed by all three. That hasn't been done yet. Secondly, you need to figure out where you're going to do it. And then after that, you need to figure out how you're going to do it. So is it going to be a mobile unit? Is it going to be at the health department? All those things have to be worked out. So this is not something where they're ready to go, right? Say it's passed tomorrow, as an example. We're ready to go the next day. It's going to be a process. And Bobby has assured me that, you know, we will have input in that process. So public comment would be definitely welcome. And again, I'm not blind. I don't have blinders on. I can see both sides of the issue.
On another front, tax incremental financing. I know there was a proposal placed before council last night from Tony Pence, who's been sort of leading the charge on this. And Tony, of course, is the head of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a complex thing to explain on the air, but basically what it amounts to is you're holding taxes at a future level, at a current level for a development, and then using, say, the future taxes after, say, a property is developed and holding that for more development within that area. It doesn't raise taxes for anybody, but
no.
It helps encourage development in your downtown area, and that's where they want to put this so-called TIF district. Is this, in your mind, a good idea, and can it help?
I believe it is a good idea. I know when I ran for mayor, one of the topics that was asked when we went in and talked to Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, as well as New Cities, that was something it's been on their agenda for a while, trying to push this. So this isn't something brand new. I mean, they've been trying to look at this for a few years anyway, locally. And one of the things that I learned, and just I hadn't really to know a whole lot about it, and I started researching a little bit, and then I went to Tony. Did a very good job, him and Dan Markwell, and working with local folks like Tracy at the Chamber, and they did a good job of setting all this up. But they work with a group called Commonwealth Economics, which this is their specialty. I mean, they do TIFs all over the state. Matter of fact, their director and the person who actually started the company, started this group, he was the one that went in and actually helped rewrite the state's TIF, the modern TIF legislation that's now on the books. But basically what it is investing in the future, giving another incentive tool to the toolbox, so to speak. If we want, let's say, for example, a new restaurant or a new business or even a new hotel looks at Moorhead as a potential place to come and invest downtown, what are your incentives? What can you do for me? I mean, that's business. And so we'd say, well, we can do this, this, and this. But if we add this particular tool, as we call it, as an incentive, it allows them to come and invest and use the tax revenue from what is a baseline. Total example here. Let's say the baseline is 10%, but the new development can raise the tax revenue for that area up to 20%. Well, then you can reinvest the difference and back into either infrastructure for helping them come in, or if they want to invest in other supportive businesses, or just invested into the project themselves, they can do that. And talking about in you know, developers, and I guess the big thing is we want people to understand the TIF is not for a hotel. It's not for a project. It's to entice several different projects to come in. It's to entice development. It's not, you know, well, we're going to put the TIF district so we can get a hotel. That's not necessarily it. A lot of times hotels and other businesses are what they, you know, they're going to be the main catalyst projects, so to speak, but it opens it up for so many other things. It opens it up for the city to reinvest in maybe a parking garage, maybe put all of our utility lines, most of them on Main Street now are underground, do that. We've got the fiber network that we're talking about. We're going to try to have to figure out a way to pay for that once it's set up and brought to it. There's so many different things that it can be used for that it could be a positive, very positive for our town, and would not necessarily put the city on the hook for a lot of money. That's what people have to realize is, well, if we do this, are we? What's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to allow it to work the way it's designed to help people bring people in. You hear the negative connotations real quick, and I want to let everybody know that the difference between this and the super TIF, like you would hear like at the Yum Center, for example, the main difference there is the city of Louisville had skin in the game. They went ahead and said, look, if this doesn't raise the tax revenue that you say it's going to help pay for the project, then we'll make up the difference. That's not what this is. This is something totally different. So the city would not be necessarily on the hook for anything like that. And that's something you hear a criticism of with the TIF. But it's totally different.
And the one thing about it is I know in talking with Tony, and we discussed it on the air here recently, is that it would take a minimum $20 million investment by someone in Moorhead's downtown district to trigger the TIF. So you're talking about that's a massive investment. And the other part about this is you mentioned the hotel thing, and I know he said that there are developers who are keeping a close eye on this because they are interested in most likely building a downtown hotel. And even though it's not necessarily about the hotel,
it helps.
You put a hotel in downtown Moorhead, guess what's going to happen? I do believe other businesses would spring up around it.
Without a doubt. And the $20 million, and this is what was explained last night to council and to the folks in the audience. Casey Bolton, who works for them, the Commonwealth Economics, did a great job. And this is what people need to realize. The $20 million is cumulative. So it doesn't have to be one project. Let's say, for example, again, keep using hotel. People's going to run out and say we're getting a hotel. But let's say you have a restaurant that somebody invests $4 million in. The hotel costs $10 million. Well, you're at $14 million. Well, let's say you need a parking garage or you need new infrastructure and, you know, $1 million here or $2 million. Before you know it, you could add up to $20 million pretty quickly. So it doesn't have to be one $20 million project. It can be cumulative in that taxing district. So that's the point. It's not going to raise anybody's taxes. It's actually going to use the benefit of future growth to incentivize people to come. That's exactly what it is.
All right. And we're going to go ahead and take our break right now. Again, we're talking with Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent here on Front Page. We'll do some more of that right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Morales. Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent is our guest on the program today, and we've been talking about downtown development, and I know that that's something you're still looking at, regardless of what happens with TIF. I know this is something that you're constantly looking at. Is there a next step in this process besides the TIF in your mind?
Well, the TIF can allow – it would just – like I said, is this going to be another tool that we can use, and it could open up other opportunities? The next step actually in the process would be – that you know, we would need to agree upon it and go ahead and vote it in along with, and we want the county to be involved too, because eventually you can go back and you can expand it, you can move things in and out, and it can also be for future. If you look at the way it's designed, and I know the people on the radio obviously can't look at that, but that's something we can make available when it comes time for public comment and for people to see. But if you see the way it's drawn, it actually encompasses parts of the university. So even the university, when they go in and start having investments and future investments and things like that, that can help us with that cumulative effort. The main thing is, if it shows the community is going to have a TIF, then it will show potential investors and developers that, you know, Moorhead is serious, because they're using this is a state program, which, again, one of the other things that we didn't bring up is not only can you use the difference in taxes from the baseline to what the future growth would be, but you can also get tax incentives from the state by doing that. It's something that the state really promotes. But we're constantly looking, whether it's the TIF or other ways to attract businesses downtown and into Moorhead in general, whether it's on Main Street, whether it's on East and West. We're constantly looking at those type of things. And one of the things that comes up constantly is You know, what do you think about a downtown hotel? We talk about that. It's been talked about for many, many years. So, you know, I don't think it's an end-all, be-all, but I think it's something that we really need to continue to look at because it's mentioned by outside agencies. It's mentioned by, well, I may bring a restaurant here if you had that, or I may, you know, if it's a type of a hotel that you want to try to get and it's got retail on the bottom, well, I'd be interested in moving into that realty. You know, it's, you see what I'm saying? It's one of those things where that could be a huge catalyst project. But even if we didn't get it, we still have to continue to look at attracting other businesses downtown, not only for new business, but in my mind, to help the business that are down there. We have to take care of our local folks. And anything that will drive more people downtown, if it's a new business, if it's a hotel, if it's a restaurant, whatever, that's going to drive business downtown to the ones that are already there. So it's going to help everybody.
On another front, recreation. I know that those surveys were sent out over the summer. They've kind of trickled all the way back in now, whether they be online or whether they be the hard paper surveys that were sent out. And those are, from what I've heard, are being compiled, the information on them being put together, so pretty well know where things are going to go. When will that information be out?
We will be presented with that information at our next Recreation Commission meeting this week. And that'll be presented from Dr. Henderson from the university, who's worked very, very hard and worked very well with us. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe they were in – once they figured out a way to to figure out the duplicates and different things, we're going to have about between 1,800 and 1,900, which is pretty good. We sent out 11,500, and if you can get 10%, that's great. I mean, most of the time you don't receive that many back. So we eclipse that, and I believe that's probably counting online too. We had something like – I forget how many online there were, but our goal was to get 1,000 back. We thought if we could do that, that's roughly 10%, maybe 1,100. So one thing about that proved to us is that people really think that's an important issue if you have that many people participate. And so our goal was hopefully – either myself or someone else can come maybe next month and talk about that. Maybe myself or someone from the Recreation Board. I think that that's something that the folks would definitely want to hear from us. We'll definitely go around and speak to different groups and organizations in the community to get it out there. And you know, there's going to be a public forum an open public night to talk about this in the future anyway. We just don't have that down yet. Don't know when that's going to be, but it would be soon.
It gives you the roadmap for recreation moving forward.
It does, and what it does, it shows what people, what the residents think are important to them. You know, it will have it ranked, obviously, and that will show that part of the questions on there where, you know, how much would you be willing to pay in addition to get something like this? And that's always important. You know, anytime you talk about potentially raising fees, raising taxes, everybody gets nervous. But if you're up front with it and say, look, what do you want to have here? And they tell you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's fine. You know, those things aren't free. So how do you think we need to do that? Increase fees, increase, you know, participation fees as far as individuals, or is it something that people would be willing to do a lift type tax?
I got to ask you about that. Now, you must have been reading my mind in a sense, because I was thinking about that as you were talking. You now have a Republican governor, a Republican House, and a Republican Senate in Frankfort. Now, the local option sales tax, also called LIFT, as you mentioned, has not been passed yet. Do you expect some form of it, or the actual straight form of it, to be passed by our state government?
And talking to a couple of our local legislators, I have asked that question several times. So what do you think? What do we need to do? Because anytime it comes up in a session, we have been sending out support for it, and through our chamber, through other local organizations, we know we've been endorsing it and whatnot. And what do we need to do to get that there? And it's, from what I'm hearing, is it could potentially come back up again. But one of the things they think was more likely and maybe even better in the long run is that they see that potentially being involved in doing the tax code overhaul when they go in and do look at our state tax code and look at our tax reform. They see that maybe being a part of it instead of being a separate thing by itself. It'll be interesting to see if it comes back up in the next session. I don't know if it's going to or not. It's been three in a row now. Been very close, but that's what I was told by a couple of folks. They think that's what could give it probably a better shot than it's ever had if it was grouped into tax reform. So that remains to be seen. But I know it's still on people's minds, and it's being discussed. And anytime you look at these type of recreation or anything like that, when you let your local folks have the opportunity to say, yes, we want to do a particular tax for a particular thing and have it sunset, I think it's, you know, nothing's perfect. But from what I understand, what, 40 states have it now, and it's been very successful to help more to help communities like ours. It's more for smaller communities like ours who doesn't have the huge tax base of a Jefferson County or Fayette County or those type of areas. So you'll see more and more support from that, I think, as it comes around to the next session. Just don't know what form.
Okay. Again, talking about development, we always chat briefly during every show regarding the building of a new fire station, a new police station. Anything developed there, and anything new? Or
well, with the new old council, I like to say we you know, congratulations to the folks that were reelected, and we have one new council member that'll be starting with us in January. Fortunately, that group has been a goal of theirs. So I think what I'm going to be doing right off the bat, starting in January, is we're going to, you know, definitely start narrowing that down and saying, we need to do something, and which is good because it's allowed us this time from when we first started this over a year ago, was we've looked at everything like I've told you, and we've pretty much got down to two or three spots like we've said before, and you know, I think it's time now for us to move forward and pick a spot. And then pick a plan and move on. Whether we can do them both at the same time, I don't think that will be something we can do at this point. And I don't see it being a joint building at this point, just because of land prices and trying to find it. If I were to guess, I'm not a betting person, so if I were to have an educated guess, I would say that in pecking order, probably we would need to do the police station first. Because we do have a renovated station too, even though it's not in downtown necessarily, it's out by the schools, and that's where they have their meetings and whatnot. But we still have Station One that's functional in town as far as the fire station goes. The police station is probably without question. The firefighters and Chief Anderson agree as well that the police probably need the most immediate attention. So I think that would happen first, and then hopefully shortly thereafter. But we just don't have a timetable. I mean, it's one of those things where I really want to make a push for it starting the new year.
I was going to say, can you get this done, at least started, next year?
It's my goal next year to get the property acquired and to have plans drawn next year.
And with the police station, there was some discussion about, say, raising the current building and then just rebuilding on that same site. Is that's still on the table?
That's one of the options. That's one of the options. We also have another piece of property that was looked at one time for potential combination building, but once it was resurveyed and the boundaries were laid out with right-of-ways and whatnot, it ended up being smaller than we thought, but now we're looking at maybe just doing it there. The thing you have to remember about a police station, or even the fire station, but more so the police station, because you have the 911 center there, you got a lot of equipment that's very vital. You can't really have it down any at all, and so there could be a cost, and we don't know yet exactly how much that could be. Let's say we moved out of that place and set somewhere up for a year and a half until that was torn down and rebuilt. Then you move back, so you've got two costs there. So It all comes down to that. What's more economical? We want to be good stewards of the taxpayers' money as always. So, you know, do you want to interrupt service, or do you want to potentially interrupt service, or do you want to have a cost for moving twice, or do you want to stay where you are, build it, and then move once? I mean, you're talking about a lot of expensive equipment that needs to be, running 24/7, 365. Now, there are temporary setups, but we just got to see what's best for our town and the cost. That's where it comes down to.
Mr. Mayor, as always, our time goes by fast.
It does.
I appreciate you coming by.
I appreciate you, Chuck. Thank you.
Happy
Thanksgiving to everybody out there.
Warhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent, our guest today on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Mraz. We'll see you next time.